Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. We are one game into the Autumn Nations Series and Scotland. They lost it, unfortunately. It might have been close. It was agonising. It was a classic Scottish loss. Matt, do you get that warm feeling though, like the familiar feeling of Scottish rugby disappointment?
I mean, it was a bit of a weird one at the weekend, the fact that we were the only game. So it felt as if like there are probably a few people tuning in for a bit of like high quality entertainment on a Saturday afternoon, and boy oh boy, that is not what we got on the day.
Yeah, it was a bit of a funny one, and obviously it was a poor result. Alan, did you enjoy it? Did you find any joy?
Well, I wouldn't say joy per se. I think it was just a bit of a weird vibe. I didn't feel like I was ready for the Autumn Internationals. It was a bit too early in the year. Brian Habana was on comms for some reason, had no real like relationship with either team. It was a bit strange. I agree. It just sort of, it didn't quite have sort of the build up or atmosphere. And I think obviously it wasn't at the match, but from the sounds of it, it was a little bit similar in the ground. The sort of general feedback was that the sort of atmosphere was a little bit poor in the stadium.
The good news is on Saturday, get the Scotland game out of the way and then you can enjoy hopefully like more exciting, higher such quality matches.
It's such an early start. It's like an old firm. They're like trying to get it out of the way before anyone gets too pissed.
It's like the train strikes are, you know, a calculated move as well. Stop antisocial behaviour as Scotland versus Fiji fans.
Well, we know it is a bitter rivalry. We do know that. Well, we'll be previewing, of course, that game coming up against Fiji this weekend when we get into it and looking back at the Australia loss from Saturday. But first, just a quick reminder where you can find us if you've not listened to us before. We're on all good podcast platforms and some bad ones as well, to be fair. On social media, that's Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod. On Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And we have a newsletter on Substack as well, which you can subscribe to for a weekly digest of all things Scottish rugby.
Need to have a think about the Instagram. I haven't really launched a couple of memes in a while.
We do need to have a bit of a content strategy session on that, don't we?
Yeah.
The Reels did really well during the Six Nations.
Exactly. There's going to be some Kinghorn/Russell-based Reels to be created. There's a lot of content there.
And it's people are demanding it. We've had zero messages demanding more content. So I think we do need to pick that up.
Have you seen that new social media platform? Is it Be Real?
Yeah, Truth Social. Yeah, Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
No, they're two different things.
No, they're two different things. But yeah. Be Real.
Matt, you're on Truth Social, aren't you?
I'm unfortunately not. Truth Social and Telegram. But I think with Be Real, you're meant to, at certain points of the day, take a photo of you, whatever you're doing. And I think that actually could be quite good during Scottish rugby matches, because you go through such turmoil that maybe you get some like candid reactions to what you were seeing in front
of you. Do you get to choose? I don't think you get to choose the moment, though, do you?
No, true.
Just like waiting in the queue for the toilet at halftime, and the B reel comes through.
I think there's a market for it. I think there's the demand's there.
Could we be the first Scottish rugby podcast on Be Real?
Gotta be relevant. Gotta be current.
Well, it'll be another first for us if we were to go into that, weren't we? The other way you can also sort of interact with us during this Autumn Nations is on Fanzo, and you can join our pint predictor game over there. Download the Fanzo app on the App Store, the Play Store, wherever you are, if you're on Android, and you can find us. You give predictions for all of the Autumn Nations fixtures. If you get the score within 5, you win a free pint of Guinness for a friend. If you get it spot on, you win one for yourself as well. And you can compete for points and prizes against us, including a signed Scotland match ball from Scotland Italy 2021. Still, I haven't even had an email telling me who the Italian captain was that day. So nobody, it's the biggest mystery out there.
No one knows.
It was one of those, like, yeah, it's like the 10:30 wooden spoon slot in 2021 in the morning. You're like, oh, for God's sake. But anyway, you can get on there. Get on to Fanzo and join us. I will tell you, there are over 200 people in the Thistle League at the moment, and it is currently being topped by James Tweedale. So congratulations. He was spot on for the Australia-Scotland game. And also predicted that New Zealand would beat Japan. So there you go. Well done, James. Currently leading for the Scotland match ball. Shall we get cracking into the Australia game at the weekend? Scotland going down by a point. Last minute kick missed by Blair Kinghorn. I think we will have some things to say about him and his performance. But Alan, why don't you start us off with a little sort of, you know, little review of sort of overall feelings around the game from the weekend?
I think generally sort of feelings of disappointment. I think there was sort of a couple of moments of brilliance either from a team perspective. I think the Ollie Smith try actually had some sort of nice build-up. It was sort of a few phases and then some nice sort of interlinking play to sort of set Ollie Smith through into that hole. And actually a very nice sort of soft hands from Kinghorn. And then obviously Kinghorn's try itself, you know, whatever people think about him, he's an absolute beast of an athlete, right? There's not many tens in the world who could have done what he did in that position. But I think generally there wasn't a lot of moments in the match where we were building phases as a team. So cohesively, we were a bit off. And then I think just generally the number of mistakes and kind of the breakdown of the lineout meant that we just were never able to get our mojo together. Irrespective of that, we were 15-6 up, and with about 35 minutes to go, and we lost the match to what was a distinctly average Australia side. So, look, it's not great, but I think there's probably, again, enough there that you can't get too... There's enough there to be sort of excited about what this team could do. And then when you see the team that's kind of going out against Fiji this weekend, it sort of gets you excited again, because actually, when you sort of inject those kind of 6 or 7 new players into that team, specifically on the back line, it's a pretty world-class team that we're able to put on the pitch.
Absolutely. Matt, should we start by grabbing the nettle and talking about Kinghorn? Obviously, all of the pre-match speculation was about him. All of the post-match chatter has been about him as well. Alan touched on his, you know, absolute quality for that try that he scored. You know, what did you make of his performance overall?
I think it was pretty good overall. I think particularly in attack, he was at the center of the few good bits of sort of structured team play, including in the lead up obviously to Ollie Smith's try. I felt that as the game went on, he was sitting a bit flatter. I think maybe at the start he was in the pocket a little bit too deep. So I think from that respect, you know, when he gets square, he's obviously a running threat. I think he can he can help things happen around him. And I actually thought that him and Tuipulotu combined pretty well in a couple of points. I think probably he didn't control matters as well as he could have. And I think that within that, you'd expect someone like Ali Price on his inside, the experienced British and Irish line, would have taken a bit of the heat off him. But he didn't manage to do that. In fact, I thought Price had a pretty average game. A lot of his box kicking was pretty poor. So I think that didn't help Kinghorn. And yeah, the kicking is just kind of, what do you expect? Like, when he's played for Scotland and been given the kicking duties, he's missed quite a lot of regulation kicks. And he doesn't kick for Edinburgh. So what do you expect? It just seems a bit of madness that there wasn't like a backup kicker in place. So I kind of feel like he's been given a bit of a bum deal, really, in that regard.
Do you think this match has changed anyone's prior opinion of Kinghorn?
Absolutely not. Like,
Kinghorn is Brexit. Everyone has just dug in on both sides here. Can't change.
I was saying it this week when we were chatting about it. Like, I feel so sorry for him. Like, three years ago, Kinghorn was like starting on the wing for Scotland, scored that like hat trick against Italy, thinking to himself, you know, I'm either pushing for a start on the wing, or I'm definitely going to be in the next 3 or 4 years when Hogg exits the picture, I'm going to be starting 15. And then maybe he said, I really want to play 10. I think it's my best position, but it doesn't feel that way. And now suddenly he's like this absolute punching bag for the Scottish rugby public.
Yeah, he's really been thrown like into the rugby discourse, potentially against his will. And, you know, you're right. I think, like, ultimately he does some things incredibly well, better than almost any other 10, especially in the Northern Hemisphere. And then ultimately he does other stuff not up to the quality of a 10, specifically sort of his goal kicking. You're right, you know, for Edinburgh, when you've got Befeli able just to like slot basically anything within 40 meters, then it's fine. The only thing some people were noting is actually, you know, George Horn has done a lot more kicking for Glasgow this season, and actually his record is pretty banging, like pretty sort of, I think he's, when he was down in South Africa, I think got 100% in one of the matches. So potentially surprising they didn't look to try and bring him on at the end. But clearly, they.
Do you think there's an element of Townsend was like, if Kinghorn gets this, I am proven, I am vindicated. If he wins the game with this kick, like, that takes a lot of pressure off me.
Yeah, but I think it definitely does. But then I think if someone else kicks, then it takes the pressure off a little bit as well, right? I think ultimately Kinghorn should be making that, even though he's not a natural goal kicker, right? It wasn't a particularly difficult kick from the right side, so from the right side of the pitch. So I think he should have been putting away. And I think ultimately Scotland probably should have been in front already, given the kind of flow of the match, right? If they'd Glenn Young hadn't got sin-binned, we likely would have kind of pulled away, and that probably would have been the end of the match. So sort of a difficult situation, but ultimately kind of feels a little bit inevitable retrospectively, right?
Glenn Young, lucky boy to get the yellow, not the red.
We were having a debate about it afterwards, and I think Townsend said, like, it's the difference between a very small margin between it being a red card and it being like a great, like, actually, yeah, perfect clear out. Because I don't know, I think if someone's in that jackal position, the only way you can really clear them out is by targeting, or you're going to be close to hitting like the head or neck area that's obviously the no-go at the moment. So I can see why, I could have seen why it would be a red card, but I also think it's like he's kind of pulling away a little bit. It's just the way that's refereed now. It's so difficult.
Tattoos make him look like a bit of a thug? Do you think that impacts the referee's approach?
Townsend's like, look, Glenn, you've got a future in this game, but they need to be removed.
I mean, he does look hard as nails, to be fair.
Mm.
He's
up there
good.
With one of the hardest good. People we've ever seen. Like, maybe Strawcosh is probably the hardest looking Scottish player of all time.
Yeah. I also feel a little bit sorry for him. I kind of get that sort of mentality. There's been like a massive break. He's clearly like charged 70 meters. There's been a tackle sort of 10 meters in front of him. He's got momentum. And there's like a scrum half just trying to get over the ball. I can just imagine in the moment his headspace was, I'm going to completely crumple this lad with like an absolute like brutal clear out. There was obviously quite a lot of people on Twitter talking about the Foley hit on Doohan literally just before, where I think there is an argument to say that his shoulder wasn't too far away from Doohan's face area as well, which didn't quite get picked up. And ultimately, I think it's a case of one is a big guy hitting a small guy, and the other one is Foley hitting Doohan. And ultimately, Doohan's riding that and winning the contact, even if it is up and around his face, right?
Mm.
So there is just a naturally, people are less likely to look at that sort of thing when you're not winning the contact.
Yeah, 100%.
Ultimately, Glenn Young is, I think if Glenn Young is, a centimetre lower, I think Scotland go on to win that match.
Was Doohan not, it was like a 3-on-1 as well. He could have just passed it.
He's not in Doohan's DNA though. I don't think when Doohan is at full speed, we ever want to see him pass the ball, because that means something's wrong. I want him.
Someone's got in his head. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want him to think about anything else apart from just running and like murdering people. Don't think about passing. That's just, I think the positives will always outweigh the negatives.
But that's the thing. I think maybe it was the nature of the game, but I think he touched the ball like 3 times. And Darcy Graham touched the ball sort of 4 times. You just think, like, even if you're not getting the ball to Doohan on the wing in space, like, use him from the base of a ruck. We've seen him do it in the past. He's this like freak of an effective weapon. And then on the other wing, you've got Darcy Graham, who's like one of the foreign players in the UK at the moment.
It's a recurring theme though, right?
Well,
we've
exactly.
not been able to get the ball in their hands for a long time.
Yeah.
Perhaps with Cam Redpath in at 12 for the weekend, which we'll come on to talk about, that sort of extra distribution might see something different. Who knows?
I think it's probably a mix of two things. I think one was there wasn't a lot of great distributing outside the centres. And then the second was there was just a lot of mistakes/penalties that meant Scotland weren't really able to sort of build a lot of phases. So you didn't really get a lot of opportunities to get past sort of phase 3, phase 4, which meant Darcy and Doohan weren't, the ball wasn't getting out to them, or they weren't having the opportunity at the time to sort of get off their wing and hit the ball, which hopefully we'll see a little bit more of, especially against sort of a Fiji side who potentially aren't as competitive at the breakdown.
Another area that obviously... Sorry, Matt, you go ahead.
I was just going to ask, just in that context, like, do you think that Townsend had this match pegged, and maybe for the whole of the autumn, as a bit of an experimentation rather than we're going to win these games by hook or by crook? Because I think like the fact they didn't have a backup kicker plan or whatever happened there, the fact they didn't take those kicks at goal, which I don't know whether that's just Kinghorn didn't feel confident or it was a directive from the coaches, but it did feel like a Scotland weren't sort of desperate for the win. And I just wonder whether, you know, a year out from the World Cup, that shouldn't kind of be the mindset.
I would say we've also not won enough matches to be taking that position.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think we need to win. And like, I don't know, even the fact that I think after the game, we went down in the rankings and Wales and Australia went ahead of us. Like, I don't know, it just doesn't like bode that well. Doesn't exactly build confidence.
We're probably going to end up like 9th in the rankings again because of this match in a year's time, and we're going to drawing like New Zealand and France in the next World Cup 4 years out or something. But no, I agree. I think ultimately, you know, especially given our sort of World Cup draw, like, we need to be focused on winning matches and, like, working out ways to close out matches. And I think ultimately we just don't have the history of wins or the player base to be doing any sort of experimentation.
Absolutely not. What are you saying?
No, but then, you know, I think actually when you look at this game for Fiji, which is maybe the game that you could arguably say, yeah, maybe we do a bit of experimentation, I would say that's probably, outside of Richie Gray, which is a bit of a strange one, which we'll get to, it feels like this is Tooney's strongest team he's put out.
We've gone full nice, yeah. Absolutely.
So, do you think that's because Tooney doesn't want to experiment anymore, or because Tooney feels like he needs a win?
I think Tooney needs a win.
Tooney needs a win.
Do you not think that even, like, if you put some strong players around you and then still gone with Kinghorn, this feels like a game that should be tailor-made for Kinghorn.
I totally agree.
You know, he needs game time if that's the strategy. Like, let's keep building his confidence up. He's probably a bit down after last week. Like, let's, you know, get him with the ball in hand, setting up tries, scoring points, get him maybe kicking a goal a little bit more.
I mean, I think Fiji at home, we've got to be looking at, you know, comfortable win, right? I think the last time we played them at home was when Tommy Seymour scored a hat trick and we put like 50 past them, right? Like, this is when you want Kinghorn with ball in hand. It's like Kinghorn versus Zebra, not quite, and not meaning that as disrespectful to Fiji, but he's probably going to get more front football. He's going to be able to play that sort of confident distributing game that he feels good at. Yeah, I'm a little bit baffled by the Hastings selection, but I'm kind of happy by it at the same time.
I think it's got to be a view from Townsend that after the three Argentina matches and the Australia match that he now sees Hastings ahead of Kinghorn.
Do you think this is it?
Well, I guess the other thing is, remember, Hastings was injured for the summer international, so obviously Kinghorn did get that stretch and then obviously couldn't have played last week. And I feel like ultimately I might be wrong. Maybe it's he's giving Hastings a shot and then he'll decide for New Zealand. But there's a part of me that feels like this is sort of Hastings, given his form for Gloucester, stepping up and being seen as sort of the starting 10. I can see Hastings getting a run of the next three games.
But it's kind of like everyone could have told you that was the case. Like 18 months ago remember, he didn't pick Hastings for that Six Nations squad at all.
Yeah.
And then even though he was doing well for Gloucester and he was, you know, let's not forget, like, an established, experienced 10, whereas Blair Kinghorn had played, you know, 9 months in that position. Like, I don't know. I almost think if Townsend gave up the experiment after, like, five games, that is even more embarrassing.
The only thing I would say is, if Finn's your starting 10, then Kinghorn makes more sense as a potential backup.
But he doesn't. Because Hastings can also play fullback.
Not wing, though.
I probably could play wing. The upside of having Kinghorn, like a really shaky Kinghorn at 10 versus, like, Hastings being probably all right on the wing.
I also think there's an argument suggests that Kinghorn is a stronger player coming off the bench with sort of 10, 15, 20 minutes ago, just because of how, like, direct a runner is and how much he can sort of attack the line.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm sort of playing a little bit of devil's advocate, but I can definitely see a much stronger argument for Kinghorn being your second 10 when Russell's number one than Kinghorn being your number one 10 when it's just him and Hastings.
It's going to be Kinghorn at 10, Ross Thompson on the bench against South Africa.
The All Blacks.
That's what I was going to say. If you had money to put down right now, who's starting 10 versus South Africa? I still think it's Finn Russell.
Duncan Ware.
But what about against the All Blacks in the autumn? I still think there's a chance that...
I don't believe the Finn rumours.
I think he chucks Kinghorn in.
I think if he was going to play Kinghorn against the All Blacks, he'd start him against Fiji, particularly after the last-minute kick,
He's been rested.
This is the last thing that Kinghorn needs is a rest, when you could buoy his confidence and be like, come on, this is your team, mate. You need to run this now.
Yeah, but
then,
I agree.
But then
I think...
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think the point you made on Twitter earlier, like, this is a terrible way to treat one of your players, right?
I think it's bad if the rumors that Finn Russell is coming back for the All Blacks game are true.
I don't
believe that to be true, because it's so baffling to me that they would do that in between this stretch.
Used to say the rumor is that not for this match, but the rumor floating around is that Finn Russell is going to be brought back in for the All Blacks game.
And we should say that we've checked it out and we can't find anybody willing to say that it's solid. We seem to have traced it back to a bodybuilder in Paisley. I don't know about you lads. It might be true. Look, the stranger things have happened in Scottish rugby, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Is Tooney that bad a manager that he would do that to Kinghorn?
I don't think so. And I think ultimately what's actually happened is he was potentially going into this autumn internationals post the summer with Hastings as his number one 10. Kinghorn had to play 10 against Australia because it was outside the international window. And that's how they're going to move forward. And ultimately Hastings is going to be starting 10 for the next 3 matches with Kinghorn on the bench. I don't think is a ridiculous position. I think it's pretty pragmatic and makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah. If your starting point is you're not picking Finn Russell, your next starting 10 has to be Adam Hastings at the moment. Right. On any sort of decision making.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a possibility that the players have had enough, some of the senior guys, and be like, come on now. We need Finn to have any chance of beating the All Blacks.
Did you see Stuart Hogg did do like a sort of Finn Russell tribute on Instagram?
Did he?
Yeah. He posted a photo of Finn Russell taking CBD and was like white chocolate. But the timing was suspect.
Interesting. It's like when the French squad like rose up against like Mark Levermont at the World Cup and like banned him from like.
Tooney's not going to be seen for like 12 months. Like, no, he's fine. Like, he just doesn't want to do media anymore. He's okay. He's still in charge.
I think we might have seen the last of Finn, at least for the next 12 months.
It's just wild, isn't it?
I think it could be it.
And I know we've talked about it. We've gotten into our Finn bit before we're talking about the game this weekend, really. But like, he has seemingly, and I say this, I'm picking up his stats and his highlights on Twitter. I'm not watching top 14 rugby, but it does seem that he is at least scoring an awful lot of points and creating tries. He seems, I think, the
he's
form.
Kicking his goal. His like goal kicking.
He's kicking his goals, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Right. Sounds like he's doing okay.
I don't know.
But I think we've got to give Hastings a run. got to give them the three matches.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know what? If we end up losing the next three, we've gone 0 from 4. Then
Tune you out, Vernon.
Fiji beat us by 20 at home. Time to get Vern in.
What is the tune out threshold? Danny Wilson tested it. It was 60 points for Glasgow at the end of last season.
I think 60 cumulative, but between New Zealand and Argentina.
Right.
If you were to do like a 40-20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I think pressure really mounts, especially if you've just narrowly lost to Fiji.
And in that time, Finn Russell puts up like 60 points across like the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Wins the Champions Cup. Yeah. Admittedly.
Gets his rig out. It's like full six back. He's completely got shape. No one understands what's happening.
No, it would be better if he did all that and like put on weight.
Yeah,
that's fair. Like, and then you just feel like
that would be the ultimate fuck you to Townsend. Is like,
exactly.
I'm not going to the gym.
Yeah.
Should we shift on to the team at the weekend?
We should. We should. Five changes from the Scotland team.
Six changes.
Six changes to the Scotland team, yeah, which are facing us, facing Fiji at the weekend. Hastings comes in at 10, brand new centre partnership, Cam Redpath and Chris Harris. Hoggy coming in at fullback, George Turner replacing the big cherry at 2, and Richie Gray getting his first Scotland start in God knows how long in the second row. Matt, when the team broke earlier today, what did you reckon?
I like it. I think seeing Cam Redpath back is just like such a wee treat, and just harks back to like, you know, those days of beating England, and just like a bit of excitement around the what Scotland could produce. And I think, you know, like Hastings, Redpath, Harris maybe doesn't have the distribution skills, but he's been playing so well for Gloucester, who've been like absolutely crushing it. And just hopefully those guys can bring Hogg, Doohan and Darcy like properly into the game, which I expect they should be able to do against Fiji, but hopefully it's a sign of things to come. And then
I just love the back line. It's so good.
It
you know what would make
great,
it better?
Like,
Finn Russell at 10 would make that back line better.
Quite possibly. But I'm not mad about having Hastings there.
I'm not mad at Hastings, and that's not a slight at Hastings, but that midfield just looks so good.
Arguably Hutchison at 13.
If you want to go like full noise, like chucking it about.
Does Harris need to have a big Autumn Internationals, or is he just locked in for the next 12 months no matter what?
He's vice captain, I just noticed as well. Like,
yeah.
I think he's
first name on team sheet stuff.
I think he might be. Yeah. I think he's like first three or four.
His Scottish rugby narrative arc has been very interesting.
Ugo Monye was comparing him to Conrad Smith.
What?
Yeah.
Love it.
That progression from like 23 to like 29, it's got to be almost one of the biggest in sort of like international rugby.
Not just in his like in quality on pitch, but fan sentiment towards him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Like his public opinion polling is through the roof right now.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, best wedding gear of all time. It's that's nailing out of the park.
It was incredible, yeah. Matt, sorry, you were saying something about rugby, and we sort of took you off.
I mean, I was going to like talk about the front row. It's not particularly interesting, but I think that I prefer to have Turner and Ashman there ahead of Cherry, and Richie Gray's an interesting one. Like,
according to Townsend, playing the best rugby of his career.
I think from what I've seen at Glasgow this year, he's been good. It's probably been the best he's played since his return. But
yeah.
It's all relative, right?
Like 2010, 2011, great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like we've sort of been constantly hoping that he'd get a return to that. And he's like a nice squad option to have if he was on that form, but he's just not that player anymore.
Bit of a weird dynamic in the Gray household. Real flip to put Johnny on the bench. It's not been that way for a while.
Yeah. I suppose I'm kind of thinking who else might have come into the mix, like Cummings injured, Skinner injured. Sykes has been in and around the squad recently. I thought he might be ahead of Gray. But maybe the line out will work at the weekend and we'll think he's a genius.
But you're not surprised that Johnny Gray's not ahead of Gilchrist and Richie Gray?
I kind of feel like I would be if this was New Zealand, but
yeah,
I kind of feel like he would be starting.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if the line out does operate well, whether they do make any changes and bring someone like Johnny Gray in. I guess obviously Richie Gray and Grant Gilchrist are two like pretty massive humans, I guess.
Yeah, bulk.
They're both just a little bit passive, and maybe that's fine against Fiji, but it just feels like you might just get steamrolled against New Zealand with them in the row.
I think you can have like Gilchrist as maybe like the line out operator, and then you have Johnny Gray next to him. That kind of seems like a reasonable balance, but I agree, it maybe does look a little bit lightweight. And then Murphy Walker is the other interesting one coming off the bench.
Yeah, the SIU seem to be putting an awful lot of stock in this young guy.
Well, seeing as we did confirm that he is Sean Lineen's nephew,
we said it's job
Sean, Shawnee boy been, although I don't think he actually works for the SIU anymore. But you know, he's been a favorite for a while. Maybe he's been pulling some strings.
He's part of that sort of Murphy Walker. That is part of that sort of Strath Allen team that also produced. Is it Ollie Smith and Cam Hutchison from a few years ago?
Strath Allen generally is just like a dynasty.
Yeah. It's incredible. But it is just, it sticks out to me that they obviously must think somebody in there, Tooney, De Villiers, whoever it must be, because I think, Alan, you looked it up, Murphy Walker's only started two games for Glasgow. And
started one game this season and then one game off the bench.
Right, so limited game time at a club level. He's a young guy and he's sitting on the bench for Scotland in the front row. Like, it's not really a comment on the merits of the guy. I'm sure he's clearly showing something, but it's kind of it's an anomaly to have somebody so green and so young in the front row in particular at an international level.
Yeah. And again, I think I wonder whether it's a little bit similar to the New Zealand point where, the kind of Johnny Gray point where it's interesting. Maybe is it Fiji where he just kind of allows them to kind of blood him a little bit? And then actually next week you pull him back and someone with a little bit more experience comes in onto the bench. I'm not sure. It'd be interesting because I guess, is he in front of WP now? Ultimately?
I think Nell might...
Hopefully not.
I think Nell might still be the backup to Fagerson, just about.
Yeah. So I think for New Zealand, they'd likely bring WP Nell back into the mix.
There's something about Walker as well where he doesn't actually look like a prop. Like, if you see the pictures of him in training, he doesn't look that big. And I'm just Googling him now. He's 110 kilograms, which is obviously big. But
he's what, 21 years old?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. He's got time to get bigger, right? But Schumann is 120.
Yeah.
Xander Fagerson is 125.
Fagerson bigger than Schumann.
Well, your tight heads are personally bigger than your loose. So
but look at the size of Schumann. Schumann's like the biggest man alive.
Yeah, I mean, Schumann has got 8 kilograms on Rory Sutherland, for goodness sake.
Wow. I mean, none of this is a comment on Murphy Walker. I think it is quite interesting. I think you're probably right, Alan, that it's an opportunity in a Fiji game where perhaps the scrum is not going to be the be-all and end-all. I think he was involved with the A-team in the Chile game in the summer as well.
Yeah.
certainly one to watch. And George Turner, we talked about George Turner coming back, didn't we? Very briefly.
Yeah, well, yeah. We'd heard, was there rumors that Cherry was going to be potentially starting, but then yeah. It looks like he's now had to drop out. Fraser Brown's into the squad, and then Turner shipped in to start with Ewan Ashman on the bench. So it's, I feel like Turner's been a little bit off the boil club wise.
I thought we might have seen Ashman starting in this game, to be honest. This felt like the opportunity for him.
Agreed.
I think the difficulty with both of them is that they haven't really been starting for their club sides. Like, Ashman has been getting game time, but it's mainly been off the bench. And then
it's Doohan's brother, isn't it?
Yeah. And then Turner's been the same. I think Fraser Brown's actually started more games than him this year. So, yeah, it's a bit of a difficult one.
Certainly tricky. I mean, Alan, what do you reckon? Scotland by 15?
Yeah, you've got to be looking plus 15. I was actually just looking at the last time we played. It was 54-17.
Yeah, we pumped them. I was just looking on Bet365, and I actually can't find any odds. They're just nobody's interested.
Well, there was the great thing that was floating around Twitter today where Amazon have taken out like ad space and Edinburgh bus stop shelters, and they're advertising the autumn international matches, but they're advertising three matches that don't include Scotland.
Yeah. I don't mind that. I think there's three big games that weekend. It's better to advertise a trilogy than four.
I get that. But you said, so I'm on Betfair. I can't get odds on Scotland Fiji, but I can get odds on Ireland A versus the All Blacks 15.
Good odds. Good. Is there some smart money to be made there?
It's no. It's not looking great. France are 1-6 to beat Australia. And I guess France are pretty good, aren't they? No. Good matches though. Wales, New Zealand, Ireland, South Africa, France, Australia. Yeah. What a Saturday.
Get Scotland out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love New Zealand to pump Wales. That'd be so great.
But Matt, are you in the Scotland sort of easy victory camp, or are you in the Scotland lose narrative death spiral tuning out camp?
Yeah, I mean, I've on my Fanzo, I've got Scotland by 22. Because I think we've got enough to like grind them down up front, and then if we can hopefully literally like give the ball to Doohan and Darcy, then I think we'll score tries. It's like I was looking at the Fiji team, they've got like a freakish back row of Tuasui, Botia and Bill Mata. But then I don't really know that much about the rest of the team. So it's hard to tell like how strong they are. But if you think back to when they played the All Blacks, whenever that was, wasn't that long ago, like gave them a real fright. I think they'll be a better Fiji team than we've played in the past. Yeah. So maybe 22 is a little bit optimistic. I think it'll be tight for a while, and then we should pull away. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I'm thinking about putting my baby in the Scotland onesie you got him, Matt. I think it might be a bit big for him, but it'll be his first game we've watched together.
Hopefully a win as well. Nice way to kick off things.
Yeah, I mean, the Australia game, as it was outside the international window, obviously doesn't count on his personal record. And we've discussed that. So, you know, he's starting from this weekend as a Scotland fan. Yeah, he understands it. So I'm quite looking forward to it. But yeah, any other business, lads?
Got a quick little quiz.
Oh, Alan.
Nice. Quiz.
I was not expecting that.
You're already getting too excited for how average the quiz is. So without looking at the squads, there's seven players in the 23 with over 50 caps. Classic little quiz. Start with you. I'm going to start with Dave.
Did you say seven? Sorry, seven with 50 plus.
There's seven with 50 plus.
Just in Scotland. In Scotland.
Just in the Scotland 23.
Okay. Stuart Hogg.
Stuart Hogg is number one, 93 caps.
Ali Price.
Ali Price, 55. Obviously, the whole why not gate. Obviously, when he hit his 50,
oh,
wasn't it?
Yeah, of course. Richie Gray,
67 caps, and he like
mental.
He hasn't had. When did he last even play?
He last played against Wales. Someone, I think actually Gary, put a tweet about it today. We beat Wales 29-13 one year, and he was playing.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Matt?
That's quite hard now. I think Hamish Watson has 50 caps.
52.
Johnny Gray.
Johnny Gray, 69 caps. Just two ahead
69.
Of...
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Hey-o.
two left in the 23.
I'm going to say Grant Gilchrist.
56 caps for Grant.
56 caps?
Yeah. And then you both get one guess each for the final 50-pluser. Or whoever's first.
Xander Ferguson.
There you go.
Of course.
Xander Ferguson, 51 caps.
That's wild.
He's got to be on for, if he keeps it up, most caps of any Scotland player ever, I would say.
How old is he?
26. So for a prop, when you look at someone like WPNL, he's, I feel like he's at least got another sort of 8-year runway to go. It's pretty impressive, actually.
That is quite impressive. That was a good little quiz, Arne. I don't think you need to play yourself down on that.
Yeah, it was fun.
No,
that's what we needed.
Exactly.
It's like I was on a light little sort of, you know, after eight at the end of the dinner. Just enough to cleanse the palate. Well, thank you very much for joining us for that, guys. We will obviously be tweeting throughout the game at the weekend. That's at Thistle Rugby Pod. So make sure you get on there to follow us. We'll have a content strategy meeting about Instagram, and we'll put some stuff up over the weekend. That's Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And we'll get you a newsletter on Substack. So get on there and search for Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. Download the Fanzo app and join our group as well. And join the battle for the signed Scotland versus Italy match ball. Come on, Scotland. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.